This morning, we're going to be looking at, is Jesus worth the sacrifice? Is Jesus worth the sacrifice? And we're going to look, our text is going to come from Matthew, the 27th chapter, the 3rd through the 10th verse. The 3rd through the 10th verse, right? It says, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned, and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed, and went and hanged himself. Verse 6, and the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and brought with them the potter's field to bury the strangers in. Verse 8, wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah, the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. Now in this text, everyone is familiar with the story of how Judas betrayed Jesus, and how throughout Judas's course with Jesus, or his time with Jesus, Judas always had a problem with loving money, loving earthly gain. And one instance is when the woman that had the expensive spice came and she anointed Jesus' feet with that expensive spice. And Jesus, knowing Judas's heart, knew that Judas was only interested in the cost of the spice for his own benefit, for earthly gain. But then he tried to conceal or be deceptive, saying, shouldn't that spice be used for the poor? He didn't care anything about the poor. Right. He only cared about himself. Right. And when Jesus, you think about Judas in all of his encounters with Jesus or interactions with Jesus, all he kept thinking about again was how he could benefit earthly, how he could benefit carnally. He never understood, never valued, never sought to understand the spiritual lessons that Jesus was trying to get across to him. When I'm saying spiritual lessons, the lessons that are of greater value, the lessons that benefit your soul, not just your body, but also your soul. And Judas never gave concern for any of that. It was always something that had to do with his flesh. And the ultimate test that Judas failed was the betrayal of Jesus. And you notice how Judas describes Jesus after he betrayed him, as Jesus saying, as him calling Jesus or describing it as innocent blood. And you think about that word innocent means there's no guilt. He didn't do anything wrong. But yet he felt it was to his benefit to betray Jesus. Isn't that something? You see, think about someone that you know that didn't do anything wrong to you, yet you're going to come up with a plan or an idea to do them wrong when they didn't do anything wrong to you. Right. And that's why I tell you all, saints, don't think that this is a new way of treating people. They've been doing this for a long time, been doing this even back when Jesus was on the earth. The scripture said that they killed him without a cause. Right. They didn't have no reason to do to Jesus the way they did him, but they did it to him anyway. So if they did that to Jesus, they're going to do it to you. If they persecuted Jesus, they're going to persecute you. And you have to come within your, you have to say within your own selves before you even get involved in the journey with Jesus. Is this going to be worth it? Do I value Jesus enough to make the necessary sacrifices that go along with serving Jesus? Am I willing, as one writer to say, to take the cup? The cup makes reference to the suffering, the wrath. Am I willing to take the cup to go along with serving the Lord Jesus? Peter says, if you go over to 1 Peter, I believe chapter number 4 and verse number 1. It's not on your papers, but it's a good scripture to support it. 1 Peter chapter number 4, and I think verse number 1. That's right. As much as Jesus Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves. Isn't that the truth? Yes. Arm yourselves. In other words, prepare yourself. Arm yourselves what?
Likewise.
In other words, just like Jesus suffered in the flesh, you've got to understand when you choose to follow Jesus that the same thing is going to happen to you. You're opening up yourself to attack. All because you choose Jesus. All because you choose to live for Jesus. You say, well, Elder Scudder, everybody else ain't going through this. Everybody else ain't living for Jesus.
Right.
You don't understand, Elder Scudder. I have friends. I have family members. They're not dealing with the same things that I'm dealing with. Why? Because they're not choosing to live for Jesus. Jesus is telling you this in 1 Peter 4 and 1. If Jesus Christ suffered, just like Jesus Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourself. In other words, prepare your mind. Get this fixed in your understanding. When you start to plan, say, well, I'm going to plan for this in my future. This is what I want out of life. Jesus telling you, make sure in your planning, make sure in your preparation that you arm yourself. Prepare your mind for suffering. Prepare your mind for going through things that you have not planned for. That you're going to say once it comes your way, I really wish that this didn't happen to me. I really wish I didn't have to deal with this. Because it is going to come. It is going to come. It comes because you are associated with Jesus. You are associated not with just Jesus' death, but also his what? His suffering. That's what the scripture says. Therefore, just like Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh, saints got to have a mind to be willing to go through. Why do I want to go through, Elder Scudder? Because Jesus said when you go through, you won't be sinning while you're going through. So long as you're suffering for righteousness' sake and not because of your flesh, right? That's the truth, saints. As you have to ask yourself, in my suffering, in the places of sacrifice where it is required that I give of myself, that I give of something that I call valuable, that I give of something that I call my own sacrifice, when I have to let something go, I have to say within myself, is Jesus worth it? Do I feel Jesus worth this sacrifice? That's the truth, saints. You think about it even with your tithes. Either you holding on to your money, the money look good, or then the Lord say, I want a tenth of that. And you got to say, well, is Jesus worth that tenth? Huh? Some folks don't think Jesus is worth that tenth. They want to cut it back. They say, I'll give them 5%. I'll give them 3%. I'll give them what I feel I can afford. And you're answering the question already. You're saying you don't think Jesus is worth that 10%. But really, when you don't even understand that 10% ain't yours, no way. Because the scripture told you the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that do what? That's right. It already belonged to Jesus anyway. But you have to ask that question yourself. Is Jesus worth it? Is Jesus worth it? The time of fasting. Is Jesus worth it? Is my relationship with Jesus so important that I'm willing to deny that bread or turn that cup down? Not for the rest of my life, just for a little while. Just for the Lord. Some folks think when they fasting, the Lord telling you to fast for the rest of your life. Like you ain't going to never eat bread and water no more. He only telling you to turn it down just for a little while. Little while just to, and what are you doing? You're letting the Lord know, Jesus, I think you are worth this sacrifice right now. Even your prayer time. When it comes time for prayer. When it comes time for you to communicate with Jesus. Do you think it's more important to talk on the telephone, to watch the television, to do all of these other many different things? When the Lord said, I just want you to talk with me. For how long? Just for 1 hour. I just want you to pray with me for 1 hour. You can talk to on the phone to your family for days. You do whatever you want to do. You can sit up there and talk for days with them, but just make sure you pause. Stop the conversation for one moment and just talk with me for just 1 hour. Isn't that something? You see, the disciples couldn't even do that with Jesus just for 1 hour. Every time the Lord kept coming back to them, he found them asleep. They thought Jesus was not worth the sacrifice, right? He had already told them, I want you to pray with me. Don't y'all realize the Lord wants us to pray with him? He had already told those that were following him, please watch and pray with me. Why? Because my hour is coming and I want you to go before God Almighty with me. The little did they know they were only going to be praying to the one that was physically with them, right? When they were going to be going before quote unquote God for strength, they were really initially asking Jesus. Little did they know the very one that they were going to be praying to was just beyond the garden. And can you think how Jesus would have felt when he was at that hour considering the pain and suffering that he was going to endure if he would have had his disciples and he could hear them praying for him? Can you imagine the love he would have felt just to know that those that he had chosen thought he was worthy enough just to ask God himself for strength, right? But they couldn't even do it. They didn't think Jesus was worth it. And that's something. I know you haven't thought about it like that. But every time you think it's too much, you have to ask yourself the question, is Jesus worth the sacrifice? Huh? Is Jesus worth what I've got to give up so that I can be participate, so that I can be engaged in what he has given me to do? The Lord gave you that assignment. He gave you that task. And you're no different than Peter, John, James, and all the rest of them. They had their times on earth, and they, during that time they had to prove to the Lord that he was worthy to them. Now it is your time, right? Now it's your turn. My turn to be on earth and show Jesus. Jesus, you're worthy. You're worthy of the sacrifice. You seem like you're giving up so much. No. Jesus is worth it. And you say, oh, Scotty, you left from your home, you left your family, you moved into a new city, huh? Oh, yes. I had to keep saying, but at the end of the day, Jesus is worth it all, huh? Jesus is worth every tear I cried, every pain, every time my heart got broke, every time people turned their back on me, I can say Jesus was worth it all. Huh? Can you say that? Only you can say, is Jesus worth this sacrifice? The thing you think you say, I got to give up all of this to follow Jesus, only you can say within yourself that it's worth it. Can't nobody put that inside of you. I'm letting you know already, you're going to have to give up something. You're going to have to give up something. Whether you give it up to the devil or give it up to Jesus, you're going to have to give up something. One gospel writer said, what is a man willing to give in exchange? Meaning he got to give up something. Give in exchange for what? His soul, right? In other words, he's got to be willing to give up something. Got to be willing to let something go. That's the truth. In order to do what? Gain. One Jesus also said, if a man is willing to save his life, he'll lose it. Huh? The very thing that you think is important to you, if you're willing to save that, just so you can say, I got something. Jesus said, you're going to lose it in the end. Huh? But if you're willing to what? Lose your life. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Don't you realize when you came down and we said, do anybody want to come down and be a part of Jesus? Anybody want to get their soul saved? Anybody willing to go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ? Anybody want to be willing to tarry? Stay on the altar. Calling on the name of Jesus until you are filled with the Holy Ghost. We ask that question. Anybody willing to do that? You stand up. You say, I'm willing. You come on down now. Don't you realize that was the beginning of you giving up your life? That was the start of you saying, my life is not my own no more. I don't belong to myself anymore. Huh? That's what one writer said. Don't you realize when you see that Jesus died on that cross for you, he shed that blood for you, do you realize you have been bought with a price and you are not your own? Right? That's what I asked the question, is Jesus worth the sacrifice? You are not your own, right? That's true. You got to say that within yourself. I don't belong to myself anymore. Life I'm living is not about me. Y'all understand that? The life that I'm living now is not about me. I know the devil tried to make you think about, oh, I'm going through this. I feel that, but it's not about you. The Lord must be glorified. Huh? I love to see saints get to that point and they walk with Jesus. When they get to the point and they say, well, it's kind of how you I'm feeling X, Y, and Z, but the Lord must be glorified. No matter how I feel what I'm going through, Jesus must be glorified. I must glorify him with my life, right? Paid such a terrible price for me. I got to give him what he paid for, right? I got to be willing to let go of me and give Jesus what he paid for. Do you believe he paid for it? Amen. I believe he paid for this. This little old insignificant thing I call living. I believe he thought it was worth enough. Huh? Your life was worth enough for him to suffer, die on that cross. What? And didn't get up out the grave. He didn't just go down in the grave and stay. He got up out the grave. He gave you a way, access to the right, to the tree of life. He gave you a right to be justified. Well, you are able to be justified because he got up out the grave. He overcame death. Huh? In other words, he put you in a position to be declared righteous. Do you think your soul is worthy enough to be declared righteous? Amen, Jesus. I think I'm worthy enough to be declared righteous. Elder Scudder, that's an oxymoron, yeah? It is an oxymoron because I am worthy, unworthy. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve anything Jesus has given me. But I think I'm worthy enough that if the Lord opened the door to walk through, I'm not going to sit on the outside and say, oh, I can't go in there because I done did it. No, the Lord opened it up. I'm going to walk on through it. What? Because I value my soul too much, right? Just because you don't value yours don't mean I don't value mine.
Thank you,
I realize I got to spend eternity somewhere. And if I'm suffering down here, I definitely don't want to suffer in eternity. If I'm going through down here, I definitely don't want to go through when I die. I want to be able to lift my eyes and put them on the face of Jesus, right? I want to be able to benefit from a door being open. What door are you talking about, Elder Scudder? Well, he said he'll wipe all my tears away. Huh? Don't you want to walk into that door? Well, he said there's no more death, no more sorrow. I want to walk into that door. You got to count yourself worthy enough that when the Lord opened up the door, you walk on into it, right? He said, folk on the outside say, you're not worthy. You don't realize all that. That's what nobody but the devil. He's trying to point fingers at you. Say, you done messed up. You done did this. You done got this shortcoming. But if you keep looking, the door is still open. Huh? The door access to life is still open. Now, you would be the fool to sit on the outside and let folk keep pointing at you, telling you all of your shortcomings when the Lord gave you another day. He woke you up to see another day, right? What is this, a day of brand new mercy, right? Let you see the compassion and his love does not fail. Huh? His love and his compassion, it don't fail. It's brand new. Every single moment. Our Lord woke you up to see brand new mercy today. Some folks laying at home, gotta go do this, gotta do that. But I just say, I got to let the Lord know. I appreciate what he did for me, right? Gotta let the Lord know I appreciate him giving me a mind. Oh, yes, he did. Don't worry about what he did yesterday. Focus on what the Lord did for you today. He gave you a mind. A mind to do what? Want to come in and praise him. Want to come in and learn a little bit more about. What did you truth.
Hallelujah, Lord.
I counted the Lord worthy.
Thank you, Lord.
Huh? But my wants, but my desires,
yes,
but all of the issues that are going on.
Jesus.
I said, Lord, you are worthy.
Yes.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
Right.
You're worthy of this sacrifice,
Jesus.
Lord Jesus. Huh?
Jesus.
Oh, don't limit your sacrifice to the offering time.
Jesus.
Don't do that. Offering is a sacrifice.
Yes,
when you're giving that money out your pocket,
yes,
it is a sacrifice.
Yes.
I'm letting you know every day you got to ask yourself that question. When that, you got that $1 or $2 left.
Yes.
In your pockets, ain't nothing else left there but lint and air.
Yeah.
You better ask yourself that question. Is the Lord worth it?
Yes,
is the Lord worth the sacrifice?
Yeah.
Or do I want a bag of chips?
Jesus.
Or a soda next week? Or is the Lord worth this sacrifice? Huh? Oh yeah, you better ask yourself that question. I can answer it. I can tell you, yes, the Lord is worth it. He's worth letting that dollar or two go.
That's right.
Huh?
That's right.
One thing I've learned, you do that, the Lord will give you so much more.
Yes, he will.
That's what the writer is trying to help you to understand. That the exchange is definitely not fair.
Yeah.
What you give up is definitely not fair. Because what you give up, the Lord give you so much more.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
You give up so little, yet he give you so much more.
Yes.
And sometimes you don't even realize the more is coming your way.
Uh-huh.
And then you realize, well, how in the world, how dare I consider, you know, questioning giving up such a little, and the Lord gave me so much more in return, right? It repents me in my thoughts. Because I realize it's not fair. It's not fair. Lord, we call the Lord's ways unfair. He said, consider your ways. Are not your ways unfair, right? It's your ways that are unfair, but the Lord's ways is a just balance, right? He gives you just what you do, right? That's right. He will look at you and say, oh, well, you shouldn't be getting all that. Well, you don't know what I had to go through. You don't know the extent of my sacrifices. You don't know what I had to go through to get where I am. Smoke will walk around and say, oh, it's gotta, you don't deserve. Your mom and daddy shouldn't give you all of it. You don't know what I had to go through.
Right.
You don't know the sacrifice I had to make all down through the years.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
To make do with what I had.
Right.
And what I had couldn't afford to function on what I was able to keep.
Right.
But the Lord saw I didn't put him to the back burner.
Right.
I kept him first.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Now it's just your season to just start getting it.
Yeah.
Huh?
Right.
Honey, if the Lord opened up a door, walk in it.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Don't be ashamed. Walk in it.
Right.
And do what? Thank him for it, right?
Jesus.
I realize there's nobody but Jesus.
Right.
Nobody but the Lord opened up that door.
Yeah.
And allowed me to walk in it. And all of my errors, all of my mistakes, all of my shortcomings. He, as that song says, he just keep on blessing me. He just keep on opening up ways for me. Huh? But you have to come to that conclusion for yourself that the Lord is worth the sacrifice. Huh? It is going to be a what?
Sacrifice.
You're going to have to let something go. Huh? Something that you think is real important. But you have to say that the Lord is worth this sacrifice. Huh? Come on. Let's give me some more of these scriptures that I want to pay for. Matthew 6 and 21. Let's go on down this list so we can get out of here. Matthew 6 and 21.
6:21.
Yes.
But where your treasure is.
Where what is?
Your treasure.
Now, we talked about that on last week. When I talked about the jewelry box. You don't throw anything in your jewelry box. You put the things that you call valuable.
Right.
Huh? Now you say, Elder Scudder, these little things, these rings, these earrings, and all this other kind of stuff. Some folk come in and say, oh, that stuff is cheap. But to you, it means something.
Right.
Therefore, you put it in that jewelry box.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
And you, if the jewelry didn't mean anything, don't buy no box. You buy a box because you say, I want to keep this separate.
Right.
I want to know when I need it. I need to know where it's at.
Right.
Huh? Even if you got a little safe. Some people say, well, I got me a little safe. What you got in that safe? Oh, a couple of dollars. Well, it means something to you.
Right.
That them couple of dollars that are in that safe mean something.
Right.
Them dollars that are in the safe are different than the dollars that are on your dresser.
Right.
Right? You say, Elder Scudder, well, how you know them dollars mean something? Because you wouldn't have put it in that safe if it didn't mean anything to you.
Right.
You put it in that safe because you don't want nobody to touch them dollars.
Right?
Right?
Right.
Now, them dollars on my dresser... Somebody say, oh, you got a couple of dollars I can borrow. You say, oh, yeah, look on my dresser, you can have that.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody say, you got a couple of dollars I can borrow. Yeah, they better not go into your safe.
Right.
They better not go up under your bed and look up under your safe and pull out the money out of there. Because when you go back to look, You say, hold up, I put money in my safe. And you say, well, who went in my safe and got my money out? You told me I could have a couple of dollars. I meant the dollars that was on my dresser,
right,
not the dollars that were in my safe.
Right.
The money that's in my safe is intended to stay there.
Right.
Hence the word safe.
Yeah.
It's protected, right?
Right.
I don't want nobody to touch that money.
Right.
And I don't even want me to touch it. That's why I got it in my safe, right?
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so that money that's in there is called my treasure.
Yeah.
It's in my treasury and it's called my treasure.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
So the Lord is opening up your understanding. He says, where your heart is, huh? There will your treasure be. That's why you got to be careful not to give the devil your heart. Huh? You got to be careful not to give sinners your heart.
Right.
No saint should be going around telling sinners that they love them.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
That they mean the world to me.
Right.
Why? Because you're giving them your heart.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
You're giving them your treasure.
Yeah.
Huh? The Lord said, where your heart is,
right,
there will your what?
Right.
See, when I told my wife I loved her, I had to make sure she was saved.
Right.
Had to make sure she was sanctified.
Yeah.
Why? Because I was letting myself be vulnerable to her.
Right.
And if I'm not careful, she'll manipulate me.
Right.
And mean me no good, right?
Right?
That's what happened to Samson and Delilah.
Yeah.
Samson gave Delilah his heart.
Right.
She didn't mean anything to him, right?
Right.
Well, he didn't mean anything to her, I should say.
Right.
He had the right mind at first.
Yeah.
Huh? He kept trying to tell her wrong things and she kept trying.
Yeah.
Seemed like to me he should have got the clue.
Right.
That this woman wants to kill me.
Right.
She's trying to take from me the thing that is more valuable. But he did not treasure it.
No.
Huh? Because his flesh was too weak.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Delilah's eyelashes was too long.
Yeah.
Them hips was too wide.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
And Samson could not take it.
Jesus.
That's why I tell you, keep fooling with Delilah. She's going to chew you up.
Yeah.
She's going to chew you up.
Right.
But the Lord already gave you the answer here.
Right.
When he's telling you where your heart is at, that's where your treasure's going to be at, right? So make sure your heart is in the right place.
Yes.
One thing you can't go wrong is giving your heart to Jesus.
Yes.
Yes. You cannot go wrong giving your heart to Jesus. He won't do you wrong, right?
No, 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 no.
He will take care of you.
Yes, he will
protect you.
Amen.
Huh? That's the truth. That's why I try to get across all of my little single people. Your young sweethearts. Lord, whoever you are, make sure don't go along for everything that's going by. Don't you do that. Don't be fooled by the silver tongue. Huh? Don't be fooled by it. Don't you give that person your heart. Huh? Because you're going to end up giving too much. You're going to make too much of a sacrifice. And when it's over with, you're going to say, it wasn't even worth it. It wasn't even worth it. Why? Because I can't even remember anything about it, right? It wasn't even worth it. But Jesus stays in your mind. I know what it feels like to feel the presence of Jesus. It stays in my mind, right? Stays inside of me. That one encounter with Jesus, it stays with you. That's why I tell you, you get the Holy Ghost like you're supposed to.
Yes.
That one encounter with Jesus, it stay with you.
Yes.
It make you get up and come back again.
Yes.
Come back more and more and more. And you'll realize the Lord don't be cheating you out of nothing.
Yes.
He keep on loving you more and more, right?
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Huh?
Jesus.
Keep on loving you more and more.
Jesus.
He stay with you.
Yeah.
That other person don't stay with you.
Yeah.
Say, it's time for me to go home. I got to go. I'm sleepy. I'm tired. I got to go to work. But Jesus stay right there with you. That's why I tell you, he's worth the sacrifice. You can be willing to give up your heart to Jesus. He is worth the sacrifice, saints. Huh? Where a person treasures that, that's where their heart is going to be at. Huh? Is that the rest of it? 6:21, Matthew. All right. Give me the note. So what is revealed about the contents of the heart of Judas? What do we know about the heart of Judas? Judas loved money more than he loved Jesus. That's why I can understand the writer in the scripture say the love of the money.
Right.
And not the money.
Right.
Ain't nothing wrong with money.
Right.
Money ain't nothing more but paper.
Yes.
Huh? Paper ain't nothing more than trees.
Yes.
And the Lord made the trees.
Yes.
Right. So money ain't nothing wrong with the money. But if you love that money,
right.
It is the root. Huh?
Oh.
Huh? It's the root of what? All of the evil, right? Because folk love that dollar. Many have erred. Many have erred from the faith.
Yeah.
Those that desire to be rich in this life.
Yeah.
Meaning they love that dollar.
Yeah.
They have erred from the faith.
Yeah.
Huh? Giving heed to all kind of what? Seducing spirits.
Yeah.
Doctrines of devils.
Yeah.
We were talking about that in the minister's meeting. With good sanctified work. Work that was holy and sanctified. Work where Jesus moved in the midst because people made the wrong decisions. Why did they make the wrong decisions, Elder Scudder? Because they loved that dollar. They weren't willing to let go of the dollar because of the soul, right? That's the truth. They loved that dollar more than they loved the soul. That's why you got to be careful where you go sit at, where you let folk feed you at spiritually. Because if you're not careful, that man in that pulpit could be loving what you give it. More than loving who you really are.
Right.
Huh? Isn't that something?
Yes.
How's that? You thank the Lord for where you are. Because
right.
Many of you, when you came in here, you had nothing.
Right.
Some of you had something, but many of you, when you came in here, you had nothing.
Right.
And if I was a carnal preacher, I would have put you to the side.
Right.
Say, what I want you in my congregation for? You ain't got nothing to give me.
That's
Ain't that the size of it?
Yeah.
They look at you and say, you ain't got nothing to give me. I don't need you in here.
Right.
You, if I tried to have a $50 line, I know you ain't going to be in it. $50 prayer line. You need a blessing from the anointed hand of God's man servant. That's how they be talking. They say, come let God's man servant lay hands on you. Get your blessing. But drop your $50 in the process,
right?
Man, you ain't got no money. You be in a world of trouble. You be walking around feeling mighty persecuted. You got all these other folks standing in the line with that $50 and poor you. Won't nobody have mercy on you.
No.
You think somebody will slide you a 50 so you can get in the line, but here you got to sit down on the pew because you ain't got $50 to get your blessing. What if the Lord treated us like that?
Right.
Thank the Lord he don't even treat you like that.
Right.
Thank the Lord he didn't treat, he looked beyond what you had. And saw your soul.
That's
the truth. He saw your soul, the real value of who you are. Look beyond your flesh and saw your soul. What if you couldn't sing? Say, Elder Scott, I want to come here over here. Y'all notice y'all are singing church. Y'all, you got a singing wife. Children's be singing and you be singing. You a singing church. I can't tune up like you. What I say, we don't need you over here in our congregation because we got a certain sound that we're trying to bring forth. And every time you open up your mouth, you sound like a bullhorn. And we don't need that old duck sound going across in the pool, in the church while we're trying to praise Jesus. And all we hear is, from you. We need to hear a certain sound. It's best if you keep your mouth shut while we're praising the Lord, because we can't even concentrate on the melody for that old duck sound to come out of your mouth. Thank the Lord you ain't in a place like that.
Right.
We tell you all to open up your mouth and sing.
Right.
whether you can carry a tune or not.
Right.
We tell you to open up your mouth and sing to the Lord, right? That's the truth. Isn't that the truth, saints? That's the truth. That's the truth. But did we finish reading the contents of Judas's heart? His heart was on that money.
Yes.
Come on, give me Matthew 10, 21 and 22.
And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death. And the father the child. And the children shall rise up against their parents.
Yes.
And cause them to be put to death.
Yes.
And ye shall be hated of all men.
Isn't this something? This is the thing that go along with living for Jesus. Does everybody understand this? These are the things that go along with living for Jesus. It had to be willing to do what? Make that kind of a sacrifice. What kind of sacrifice was had to be made? Look at what it says in verse number 21. Isn't that something? Well, he had to let something go that was important to him, right? And not just deliver him up to be put in prison, but to actually be put to what? To death.
Right.
Isn't that something? That's just like Abraham and Isaac.
Right. Yeah.
Remember Abraham and Isaac? When the Lord told Abraham to offer up your own son? Your only son, the child of promise. And then his son looked back at him and say, Daddy, I see the wood, I see the fire, but where is the sacrifice? Huh? And little did Isaac know he was the sacrifice. Huh? So there had to be a willing to give on both parts. Abraham had to be willing to kill his son, and the son had to be willing to let his dad kill him. Huh? Come on, Isaac wasn't no little child. Isaac was about the age of daring. So you can imagine an old man like Abraham. Now don't think Abraham was my age. Abraham was like three times my age. Three or four times my age, actually. And then you have this young man that has to be put to death by this old man. And here the young man had to be willing to lay on the place of sacrifice and let the old man kill him. Ah, come on, saints. But they were both willing to make the necessary sacrifice. Why? Because Abraham said out of his own mouth, Jesus will provide himself a sacrifice. In other words, Jesus will see this thing through. No matter what we have to give up, he will see this thing through, right? That's the truth. I realized that years ago. No matter what I had to give up, the Lord would always see things through. Huh? No matter what the sacrifice had to be, the Lord would always come by and see us through it. Huh? Something we put ourselves in. Yes, you do. Make bad choices. You make bad decisions. You get yourself in a hole. Get yourself in the pit. And you start to sink in that pit. And you ask the Lord, Jesus, deliver me out this pit. Jesus, help me to get out of here. And the Lord said, well, in order to get out, you got to let this go. This thing that you're holding on to is causing you to sink. And I can't pick you and the thing up at the same time. You got to be willing to do what? Let that thing go. And you have to make a choice. You got to make a decision to just open up your hands and let that thing go. Open up your mind and let that thing go. And then you notice the Lord comes through with his word. He began to lift you up out of that pit. Now it's up to you to appreciate the Lord lifting you up and stop looking back at what you had to let go. Isn't that what happened to Job? Job had to be willing to let the stuff go. But at the end of the day, what did the Lord say? He gave him more than he had from the beginning, right? But he had to be willing. He had to count Jesus worthy to make that what? That necessary sacrifice. Huh? Isn't that the truth? Come on. That's all I want from there. Now go over to the next scripture. What does that have? It says, this is my attitude when I'm spiritual. My actions and my decisions and my attitude. This is what it looked like when you're spiritual. 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and verse number 19. Which says, laying up in store. That's that treasury. That's that safe. That's that storage place. What do you lay up in store? You lay up in store for a foundation of, what does it say? A good foundation against the time to what? That's right.
That they may lay hold on eternal.
So what is in your treasury? I got eternal life in there. Do you all realize when the Lord put himself inside of you, he put eternal life in you? Huh? That's right. That's why you cannot look at the things that are here in front of you. These things are only temporal. Huh? But the things that you cannot see, what can't you see? Eternal life. I don't know what it's like to live eternally, but I know I got it inside of me. Why? Because I got the Holy Ghost inside. Holy Ghost quickens me when I don't feel like quickening. When my body be in pain, when my joints ain't acting right, when my head is hurting, when I put my mind on Jesus, he still quickens me, right? Eternal life. It's all in my bones, right? Do you feel it? I feel it. I feel eternal life inside of me, right? Ain't nothing but a body of death trying to hold life captive. But one day you're going to get out this body of death. One day you're going to leave this body of death right in its rightful place. That's what the Lord says, from dust thou art, and you're going to leave it right in its rightful place, right? But is Jesus worth the sacrifice? Woman got to be willing to say, I don't have to wear that makeup no more. Huh? Because Jesus is worth that sacrifice. Huh? I don't need people to come tell me how pretty and beautiful I am. Because all I need to do is look good in the eyes of Jesus. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that true, saints? Man, same thing. I don't need a woman to boast up my ego. All I need to know is that I'm walking upright, doing and saying the things that are pleasing in the eyesight of Jesus. Why? Because at the end of the day, he's all that matters. At the end of the day, muscle or no muscle, cut or no cut, huh? It's all going back to the dirt. Ain't that the truth? Huh? Y'all understand that? So is Jesus worth that sacrifice, saints? You were the one that had to come up with that answer, okay? Come on, next one. Is that going to be, now that's my attitude when I'm spiritual. I set my focus on things that are long-lasting, not things that are temporary. But then when I am carnal, what does it look like when you have a carnal mind? Huh? When your attitude is carnal, what does it say? Your actions are going to be carnal. Your decisions are going to be carnal. And your attitude, huh? It's good. Now, saints, I think we need to be careful about this. Huh? Or else, what are you talking about? Because I see too much of that. I see it and I feel it. Do you feel it? I feel it. I feel it. Do you all know when you miss a couple of services, when you miss one or two services, you realize you got to get yourself back on track. Right. Why? Because you done gave yourself over to carnality. Amen. All that time you miss, whatever it's one, two, three, whatever time you miss, you done gave yourself over to carnality. Right. Now you got to get your mind back on. Now if you honest, you can be honest with yourself. Right. You honest. Sometimes when you come in here and you haven't been in here for a while, you got to get your mind back right. You got to say, hold up. Get your thoughts back in order. Huh? Fix your face. Fix your attitude. That's the truth, saints. You got to get that juice going. Got to get the wheels turned a little bit. Because if you ain't careful, you'll come in here and just sit. You'll carry what you was doing at home and bring it in here. What you was doing at home, I was just sitting. Didn't feel like being bothered. I was in pain, and you done brought that same attitude right in here. In the place of praise, right? In the place of thanksgiving, right? You done brought that same attitude in here. That's why I say you got to get back on track. You got to get your focus back, right? You got to realize, what are you here for, right? I'm here to praise him, right? Here to glorify him, right? Yeah, that's right. You done gave yourself over to carnality. I know you didn't ask to be in it. Some of you, I know it. I know it. I know it. I know it. I understand it. Elder Scott, I could not come. You don't understand. I get it. I understand. I feel your pain. I know your agony. But I'm trying to tell you, you gave over to carnality. You gave over to the flesh. It wasn't nothing but the flesh. They got the best of you. Right. Huh? Right. Well, nothing but the flesh. Right. You say, Elder Scudder, I couldn't even keep my eyes open. By the time I jumped up, service was over with. Amen. You did need some rest. We don't want you out there driving when your eyes is that heavy. Okay. Else you're going to run into a pole. Amen. But I don't want you to think your sleep was spiritual. Your tie, your condition was carnality. Yeah. And you did what? You gave over to it. Is that something to be rewarded? No. No. Don't you reward yourself for that. You better slap yourself on the wrist. You say, no. I done missed Jesus. I done missed being with Jesus because my eyes was heavy. Now you need to go back and do some evaluation. What in the world did I do that made me so tired that I couldn't give Jesus how much? Yeah, now don't y'all back up from it. Don't you dare do that to yourself. Don't you dare do that to yourself. He done gave you 24 and he only asked for how much out of it. One of it. Now what in the world did I do with them 23 hours that made me so tired that I couldn't even keep my eyes open for 1 hour to talk with Jesus? Huh? Do y'all ask yourself? You better ask yourself that question. Don't you go through life not doing that kind of evaluation, or else you're going to become a victim to that. That thing is going to be a repeat behavior. For you know you're going to have a pattern of always being tired, right? And what will you be known as? Not an appraiser. Not an eyes of Jesus. Jesus won't look at you and say, oh, that's a praising saint. He's going to call you just what you are. You a sleepy saint. Why? Because when you should be praising me, you sleep. Huh? Or you are a sickly saint. Huh? Every time I turn around, you're sick. Brother, don't nobody want to hear that like that. But it's the truth. Every time I turn around, you're sick.
Amen.
Come on, help us, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Don't add up, do it. Don't add up. You say, you don't understand what's going on in my body. It's like Rodney do that. You don't understand what's going on in my body. I'm trying to tell you. You don't want to be seen by Jesus as being a sickly saint. There ain't no difference in a man and a wife. Now, me and my wife is married. Now, when we want to do married things, if every time I'm coming to her, she always got to say, Elder Scott, I'm sick. Now, how long you think that marriage going to last? Huh? Every time I done did my part. I done married you. Huh? The scripture done told you, your body is mine and mine is yours. And I want what belongs to me right now. Huh? Tell them, mother. Anybody want bigger? Only reason I don't bother with it, because it's fasting time.
Right.
Lord said, when you fast, don't do that.
Right.
But when you ain't fasting, what belongs to me is mine.
Amen.
And I want what's mine. And every time I come over and say, come on, baby, what you doing? I'm sick. Don't even bother me. Don't go look the other way. Now, how long you think that's going to last? Hmm? Somebody house ain't going to be happy.
Right?
Huh? Now, if that's true in marriage, what about your marriage to Jesus?
Right.
Aren't you supposed to be married to Jesus?
Right.
Didn't he say, you belong to me?
Right.
Oh!
Right.
And what you say that, Mr. coming around, ain't he? Oh, Jesus coming around. Huh? Jesus coming around, he's calling you to it. He is a husband. Huh? He bought you. He owned you. You are what? Not your own. Oh! Does everybody understand that? I think if we govern ourselves like that, we'll be okay. But if you got that old carnal attitude, this is what you're going to sound like. Every time Jesus comes, you're going to make an excuse. That's what they did when the Lord gave that supper. That's what y'all going to read in Luke. Luke chapter number 12, 18 through 19. What does it say there?
He said, this is what I do. I will
pull down my bones. Oh, I didn't get to the other one. But this is what the man said himself. Carnal thinking. He said, I'm going to pull down my bonds and build up greater.
Right. And then will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much good laid up for many.
Carnal stuff.
Take thine ease.
You don't need no Jesus. You got plenty of shoes. You don't need no Jesus. You got plenty of dresses. You don't need no Jesus. Plenty of coats. You don't need no Jesus. Jesus said, okay. Dead man can't wear all that stuff. I'm going to just show you just how much you're going to use it.
Uh-huh.
You be dead. You can't use none of it.
That's right.
Huh?
Yeah.
Don't let the Lord kill you and show you just how much your stuff is worth.
Right.
Huh? Just how much your stuff is worth. Let the Lord kill you. See just how much your stuff is worth. It's worth absolutely nothing. Spend all that money on that stuff. You dead. You can't take none of it with you. It goes away in bags.
Yeah.
Goes to the thrift store.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh? And the folk in the thrift store, it only gets sold if they don't go through it first.
Right.
The man in the back get to see all the goods first.
Yeah.
He said, oh, my wife could use these. What size is that? Hey, brand new shoes. Thrift store ain't even selling it. Somebody else got all of your goods and using them. Huh? And the beautiful thing is a blessing to them. Why? Because they didn't pay what you paid for it. It's free to them. Huh? That's why it's good to be on the receiving end. The blessed end, right? Huh? That's you, Lord, let them demons go by that stuff. And that demon put that stuff on the tray, on the side. Let the saints come by the road and say, amen, Lord Jesus. How many amen, Lord Jesus, have you? I had a whole lot of amen.
Yeah.
I've done been the recipient of a whole lot of amen, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
That was what Brother Joe was talking about in his testimony. He had an amen, Lord Jesus, too. Just he had a devil to bring it to him. And we said he made that call. Said the man said, I ain't charge you nothing that. That was supposed to be free. Well, she sure took some money from me. Huh? I guess she won't do that no more. Something to think about, isn't it? Something to think about. Go on over to the last scripture so I can finish this up. I'm done. Luke 14, 16 through 21.
Then he said unto him, then said he unto him,
yes.
A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant
at
supper time to say to them,
yep.
I were bidden.
Yep. Come.
All things are
now what?
Right.
Yep.
And they all with one consent began to make excuses.
What did they do?
Make excuses.
Now this is not what we want to do.
No.
We don't want Jesus to see us as a saint that makes excuses.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
The excuse was greater than Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
What does the title of your lesson say? Is Jesus worth the what? The excuse was greater than Jesus. Therefore, they gave more heed to the excuse than they did to the Lord Jesus.
Right.
And that's what the scripture says, not just some of them. Not just some of them. What does it say? All of them. Right? What does it say? Somebody read that for me. I'm sorry.
First said unto him, I have brought a piece of bread,
uh-huh.
And I must need go to see it.
Yep.
I pray thee, have me.
Uh-huh.
And another said,
he was so polite. I pray thee have me. See, sometimes, yeah. Yeah, just because you can't do, don't mean you give up your politeness.
Right.
You say you can be polite and still be wrong.
Right.
You can be sweet and still be wrong.
Right.
Somebody say, oh no, he's talking so saintly, talking so holy and so sanctified, but he's still wrong.
Right.
he wasn't harsh.
No.
He wasn't real cruel. He said, please have me excused.
Right.
Right?
Right?
Sounds so nice and so
yeah.
sweet. But it didn't change the anger of the Lord.
Right.
If you jump down to verse number 21,
mm-hmm.
Look at verse number 21.
So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said,
Hold on. How was Jesus?
Angry.
Now, he was angry even when somebody was polite.
Right.
Because that verse number 18, the man was polite.
Yeah.
He says, I pray thee, have me what?
Excuse.
But that still made Jesus what?
Amen.
See, just because you're polite, just because you say it nice, don't mean it erases
right.
the expectation.
Right.
Jesus set expectation for you to do what? Make a sacrifice.
Right.
Be willing to do what? Give.
Right.
Huh? He made it, didn't he?
Yeah.
He made the sacrifice, so he ain't telling you to do no more than what he did.
Right.
But I'm trying to tell you, the more you keep doing that thing,
mm-hmm.
really what this lesson is trying to show you, how the attitude progresses in the wrong direction
right.
when you keep making what? Excuses.
Yeah.
Now notice, because it starts off being real polite.
Mm-hmm.
Please, I pray thee, have me what?
Excuse.
Huh? 19. I pray thee, have me excuse. Right? Next one says, therefore, I cannot come. Isn't that something? How dare you? But that's the attitude you have. I ain't going to be there. I don't know why they're going to do it because I ain't coming today. But don't you know they depend on, but they could depend on somebody else, because I'm not going to be there. All right. Huh? Elder Weaver used to say, she said, Faith used to say, she said, in other words, who you think you are? Lord is the one gave you the breath you got.
Right.
And if he take it away from you, what you going to do about it?
Right.
Ain't nothing you can do about it, right? So think about that, saints. Every time, if you're not careful, the response to the excuses, the response to the expectation, it gets worse, and it gets worse, and it gets worse. In other words, your actions get badder, or worse, or however you want to say it. My decisions become more wrong. My attitude gets more horrible. Saints say, well, you such and such is a difficult person to deal with. Well, the more they keep making excuses, I'm trying to tell you, they ain't going to get no better. They're only going to get worse. Huh? And if you ain't careful, they might let something slip out their mouth. Huh? You say, oh, no, not them. Oh, yes, them. That one right there. That one right there going to give you an earful. Huh? And won't have no shame in it. You say, why in the world did they get to that place? Because they kept on making excuses. And excuses ain't make them a stronger saint. It made them a weaker one. Huh? That's something to think about, saints. I'm done. I'm not going to hold you any longer. But ask yourself that question every now and then, saints. I think we need to ask ourselves that question. Is Jesus worth the sacrifice? Is Jesus worth the sacrifice? You got to give up something. You have to. I'm sorry. Either you're going to give it to Jesus or you're going to give it to the devil. But you're going to give up something. You have to ask yourself, is Jesus worth my sacrifice? All right? Trust you got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart that you may not sin again.